Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Night Visions with WPRS.
I'm Wendy.
And you guys know I'm Eric, unfortunately. And we have Visionique and Nakoma here.
And we are sitting here burning up. It's been such a beautiful day today. Oh, my gosh. Beautiful day.
Yeah, no. How are you hot?
Because we're drinking Firehouse Coffee.
Yes, we bought some coffee from Firehouse Coffee that's at, you guessed it,
Fort Monroe.
And it is out of this world. I'm going to probably be up all night, but hey, that's all right.
Yeah.
It'll be worth it. But everybody knows, you know, we gave a brief history of Fort Monroe, the last show. But tonight, we wanted to share the haunted side of Fort Monroe.
Mm-hmm. And it, what did they say it was? One of the most haunted places
in Virginia.
In Virginia. And so far, so good.
And I will say, though, it's not the type of haunting where you feel scared. It's a haunting where you know you're being watched and followed and all that good stuff.
Because of the history. It's nothing demonic.
Oh, no.
No, it just comes strictly from the history.
But I'm going to tell you to make sure you get out there and check this place out.
Yeah, we've already had our own. We've been going a lot, to say the least.
Yeah, I know.
We've already had our own experiences. So.
Yeah, I guess I'll go ahead and share mine. I was actually walking up to, like, the, I guess you could say the second level around the wall.
It is, yeah.
And I felt as someone was, like, pushing me, not in a mean, vengeful way, but kind of, like, pushing me like it was.
To help you back up the steps or back down the hill.
Was actually trying to push me over the where the one tunnel goes out, that little, I don't know what you call that.
In front of the quarters one, the big white house where Lincoln is. Well, yeah, was.
it is.
Oh
my gosh. See, Wendy believes he's still there.
He is still there.
Well, yeah, he's there.
And I'm going to get in there.
Wendy even had an experience there, too. And what was weird, it kind of ties in to what happened to me.
It was, I can't say it was at the same time, because it was kind of at the same time, but not really. Because where mine happened at was really close to what they call Ghost Alley. Felt something, felt it burning on my butt, on my hip, on my butt. And, of course, I couldn't see it. A, it was dark, and B, I can't see better. So, you know, and it felt like a scratch. And then I kind of did my pants down just a little bit, and it was some scratches there. Everybody saw it. And then when we got back to the house, they were gone. So.
Yeah, but remember you said you, even when I was walking up there, you said you saw like a dark shadow falling around me.
It wasn't around you. It was when you were walking up there, me and Pam were standing next White House, the quarters one. And I turned around, and I mean, it was gone as soon as it came. It was really quick, but it was a dark black shadow standing behind me. Now, where it went after that, I don't know. I'm assuming it went up the hill where you were at. It's because exactly directly right after that is when you felt the push.
That was crazy.
So,
I mean, I go to a lot of places, but I've never really experienced.
So the whole, both of our experiences, the whole entire thing happened within a matter of 10 minutes. It wasn't tall enough to be Abraham Lincoln, I do know that.
And I do know the last time we went out there, Yeah, the temperatures were a little bit cooler, but it was really cold in one area, and it was really cold, and then all of a sudden it kind of warmed up a little bit. So something was going on at the fort.
Something is always going on at the fort.
But I'm serious, before we get into a lot tonight, I want to push all our listeners to please go and support this place.
The museum is free, but it is packed full of information. The people there are so very nice.
And the gift store, every time I go in there, I have to hide my money from myself.
Because there's still stuff in there I want. We've been in there 3-4 times.
And then what you do, right afterwards, you walk right over out the front entrance and walk up a little ways. On the right-hand side, you'll see the Firehouse Coffee. And you can go there and get you some coffee and talk about your fun day at Fort Monroe.
Yeah. Like we're doing. Yeah. Because this coffee is the bomb.
It is. It's good.
And we have our Dove chocolate. I sent Eric to the grocery store earlier. We got our Dove chocolate. And we got our coffee.
I did do dark chocolate. And then just as a joke, they had this little candy bar thing, and it's called Five Bites. Now, I know for a fact the bites, you'd have to be about the third size of a tick.
That's five bites for me. It's about two for you.
I'd be lucky if it's two.
I'm going to open it. We're going to talk about some ghosts. Fort Monroe.
Yes.
Because it's taking everything I got not to go out there again. I mean, every time I rub out, I want to stop. I really do.
I know, because I know for the past couple weekends, I've been going a lot of times like Friday night and Saturday night.
We went out on Sunday night.
I actually went Sunday morning and went to the Firehouse Coffee and got me breakfast and, of course, the coffee. So as you can see, man, that place, oh, my gosh. And the people there are so friendly.
You know, something you really wouldn't expect out of. No, not everybody in Virginia is friendly. Not everybody.
No, but there they are.
But there they are.
And if you like a nice place to walk, too, it is beautiful just to walk around there.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
So, yeah, as soon as I stop eating my chocolate, we'll talk about ghosts.
Yeah, no. So let's see, our show this time, we had a big hoopy do about it, but you guys just got to listen to Wendy eating chocolate.
Yeah. Wow. And drinking Firehouse Coffee. Yeah. Anyway, so it says, and this is just an overview because we're going to get deeper into it tonight, aren't we?
We are.
Oh, yeah. So those who have gone to the fort have often come back with reports of strange phenomena. Yeah, we just told you. Many apparitions have been spotted at the fort, the most famous of which include Abraham Lincoln and Jefferson Davis, who was imprisoned there after being accused of plotting to assassinate Lincoln. Davis's ghost walks the ramparts at night, and his wife's spirit is said to reside here as well, marked by a window suddenly starting to vibrate. A ghostly figure in a top hat appears outside the nearby Chamberlain Hotel, which we're going to get into too, and it's rumored to be Edgar Allan Poe, who ended his brief military career at Foreman Run. There are also many less well-known but equally active spirits at the fort. Floating orbs have appeared in photographs as embodied voices. Horse hooves have been heard, and a little girl calling her cat named Greta have been recorded by EVP. That's the next thing we're going to do is take the digitals out of. Yeah. Workers say they have seen the phantom gray cat appear and then disappear around building corners, and there have been sightings of a man in his mid-18th century dress standing in front of the dining room fireplace, which they say is Lincoln.
That's the one. I want to see that or Poe. I would love to.
I know, right? A lady in white regularly appears on Boardwalk in the spot now known as Ghost Alley, which that is contradicting. That Ghost Alley was behind the church.
It is.
So this one is on the Boardwalk. It's not. She is thought to be the wife of a captain who murdered her with a gun after she had an affair.
Okay. Well, my story just got read.
Go ahead.
It already got read.
That all?
Well, I'll share. I know it sounds like we're repeating, but I guess we should have talked it over better.
Don't go deeper into it.
Well, the information that I found, that I don't know how deep it really truly goes, but we're in the process of talking to somebody who will tell us more, and then we'll share that once we find out. But I want to talk about the woman in white. And it says, a famous area contained within the walls of Fort Monroe is what they have dubbed as Ghost Alley. Here is the story of the famous woman in white famous woman white ghost story begins. A beautiful woman had married a captain of the military who was nearly twice her age. So see, age is just a number. With her husband being away most of the time, the woman befriended a captain that was closer to her age. The couple became fast friends, but soon their friendship was much more than friends. The couple consummated their love for each other. The husband came home only to find the lovers in bed together. The husband became outraged and chased the man off. Still angry, the husband murdered his wife. It is said that her spirit roams Ghost Alley, looking for her true love that she lost on that fateful night. Will she ever find him, or will she be doomed to roam the streets of Ghost Alley? And Ghost Alley is like a church, and it runs by that. And there's a house there that has quite a history, too. But they said that you can see the woman in white on the boardwalk. She does. She's looking for her lover.
We'll see if that just kind of cleared that up. That's good.
Now, this one's the one that's interesting to me. And this one was the ghost who hates roses.
Huh.
In another part of Ghost Alley stands an officer's home. Past occupants have stated how someone or something detests roses. If a bouquet of roses are placed anywhere in the home, the next morning rose petals are strewn all over the floor. There are no other signs of this strange act, and no one knows who is doing it. Perhaps a scorned lover has decided the roses are a grim reminder of the love they had lost, and in a fit of rage, rips the petals off. Nothing like holding on to the past and taking anger out on to the living of the present. So I wonder if that has something to do with this wife. Maybe this is the husband.
Ooh, interesting concept. It could be. Actually, I never heard of that one. So you thought in that information on that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I know. Because, like I said, I would like to get a lot of information on this. But for me, I'd rather say, you know, talk to, like, the historian. But, you know, people said they've even seen a young girl there.
Was it the wife?
No, was the girl with the cat?
Yeah, the girl with the cat. Yeah, the ghost of a cat, a young girl, a lady, or not a lady, depending on how you view her behavior. Huh. So. I wanted to actually share something. Someone actually went there and blog their time there. And I just wanted to read this, if you guys will bear with me, because I feel like when you hear stories too, and then I'll share more about that other stuff that Wendy was talking about, that's about the Chamberlain and all that.
Oh, yeah.
But it says, armed with some info, I asked my husband if he wanted to go for a walk around the fort with me. He said, sure, and off we went. The fort proper is surrounded by a moat, but there are many, many buildings on the land outside of the moat area. We started our adventure at the north gate, crossing the moat by bridge. We headed south, planning on walking around the fortifications built along the moat, which consists of a six-sided casemate structure of arches and brick and mortar built on sand. What is going on?
Uh-oh.
I'm sorry, my phone's acting up. Hold on. Built on sand, the arches have kept the heavy buildings from shifting or settling since this part of the fort was constructed in the mid-19th century. The old brick structures are a marvel to see. On top of the ramparts, in one section, residents of the fort have dedicated a section as a pet cemetery. Going back to the 1920s, there are grave markers every few feet along the wall on top of the ramparts. Dogs, cats, rabbits, and even a few horses have been buried here.
Horses?
Yes.
I had to look like a bed to the horse.
There's a story about a ghost of a cat that roams the property, and I wondered if the kitty could be found in this area. I started with the sound of calling the kitty and saying, here, kitty, kitty, but the cat was too shy. Okay, I guess. No ghostly cat showed up. Following the ramparts around the fort brought us to the main gate, where another bridge crossed the moat leading to a tunnel beneath the ramparts. This gate also once housed prisoners, and we walked there within two cells built into the walls.
Mm-hmm.
My son once saw a soldier sitting in one of the cells, and when he asked about the man from a lady working a tour nearby, oh my gosh, this phone is driving me crazy. That there were no actors employed here or there. Oh my gosh, I might have to. I'm sorry, guys. My phone, thanks to the stupid Sprint network.
Yeah.
Here or there are in Williamsburg and Jamestown, so there's no actors. He was also told the cells were empty and locked. Knowing of his experience, I looked for a cell, but they were closed off with iron doors without windows,
mm-hmm.
and so I could not look in. Disappointment number two for the day. Following the ramparts again, we came to the Casemate Museum. Why is that a disappointment? Which contains the very cell that Jefferson Davis was locked and shackled in.
Yep.
He did not die here, but it is said his ghost roams the place as if this was the location of his greatest embarrassment during his lifetime. I called out loud, if there are any spirits here, please make yourself known. Now comes the interesting part. The ceilings are all barrel-shaped, as I explained. The construction of the fortification was stacked arches with vaulted passageways between rooms. I looked at the ceiling outside Mr. Davis's cell, which have track lights in two rows. I saw the little points of light darting quickly back and forth across the ceiling. I said to my husband, "I wonder what causes that effect." He said, "What effect?" When I pointed up and described the tiny points of light, he shook his head and said, "I don't see that." I just looked at him. He was crazy.
He was crazy.
And said, "Stand here and look. Maybe it's just my angle on the view." He did, but still didn't see them. Meanwhile, I was watching them dart back and forth, and I said, "I can't believe you don't see that." He said, "I don't see anything." I walked around the room looking up at different angles and saw them at every vantage point. My husband didn't look at me like I was crazy. He believed I was seeing what I was describing. Now, see, this is someone writing it, so. Finally, we moved on to the next room, which had identical track lights along the ceiling and was the same exact barrel-shaped as the last, and there were no lights. I stepped back through the adjoining archway and saw two tiny specks of light dart across the ceiling. Where they were dozens a moment before, only two were now visible. We toured the rest of the museum and then exited to continue around the ramparts to the next gate. The gate is across the street from the house Lincoln stayed in. Yes! And near an area known as Ghost Alley. Mm-hmm. Here it is that can be seen the lady in a nightgown who apparently became friendly with an officer while her husband was away. He returned unexpectedly and caught them in bed. They both ran in the from the house. The lover got away, but the husband caught his wife, shot her dead. And it says she apparently roams the place looking for her dandy.
Her dandy.
She didn't make an appearance despite my calling for her. So as you can see, you know, someone just out of the blue went and got to experience that. So, like I said, I would love for, you know, our listeners to go check it out. And then if they
see anything, let us know.
And you might not. I mean, because, you know, as you see, they say that you're not going to go there every time, but there's
as many times as we've been there, and we've only experienced something one time, but we're going to keep going.
Well, what about the rocking chair?
That was weird. It was there today.
It's that White House that she was talking about, the quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Wendy saw a rocking chair, like, outside one of the windows. And then the other night we were there and didn't see it. Well, they, like, walked up to the second level, and I was able to see it. So it was weird that we didn't see it, but then we did see it.
Hmm. And you were taking pictures, and things were in the windows, and then you went back to see them, and they weren't there.
Yeah, explain this to me. You take a picture, you can clearly see something in the picture, you close out the picture, come back, and it's gone. And then you take a picture of another window, you see something in that window, it's in the picture, you show the picture, you close the picture, open it up, and it's gone.
It's gone, yeah. I saw it with, I saw it without. I don't know.
That was crazy.
But welcome to Fort Monroe.
Yeah, I know. It was funny. We were walking there the other night with Pam, and she saw something. She says, "I wonder if that's a cat." And this thing, if it was a cat, this cat needed a major diet.
Yeah. Big.
I'm thinking it was a raccoon.
I think it was a raccoon. I'm hoping it was a raccoon.
I'm going to let you share something because I got to go get some more.
You got to go get some more coffee, huh?
Yes. Oh, my gosh, this coffee is so good.
So, yeah, the house that we were just discussing is called Old Quarters Number 1. The first house that you see is big, white. I mean, you can't miss it. They're actually trying to preserve this house, doing a lot of work and stuff to it. Trying to see if I could see what they were actually doing to it. Got an old picture here. I'll put that up on the website. You see a picture from where it used to be, and then you see it now. It's weird. The house that is said to be haunted by the most distinguished ghost of Fort Monroe is the lovely old Southern plantation-style house facing the east sallyport and flanked by magnificent 100-year-old magnolia trees. Didn't they say it was the only, and I can't find it now, but they say it was the only house that faces Chesapeake Bay. I'm finding that.
Yeah, I'd like you to.
For many years, the house has been fondly referred to as Old Quarters Number 1. It was originally built as the residence of the Fort Monroe commander. It was called Quarters 1, as in the custom of many army posts for the commander's quarters. It is the quarters of numerous commanders and their families, including Abraham Eustace, and as the most imposing dwelling on post, it housed the many famous and prominent visitors of Fort Monroe. The old house became Old Quarters 1 in 1907 when the present Quarters 1 was built facing Hampton Roads outside the moat. I had not seen that. I have to go look for it. Through the years, stories of the return of some of the VIP guests from the graves have been repeated until the roster of the spirits running the house is a spectral who's who. In other words, Abraham Lincoln.
Yay.
The most famous apparition cited is Abraham Lincoln, who appropriately enough shows himself in the room in the South that's known as Lincoln's Room. This is the former guest room of the quarters for either overnight visits or for a brief freshening up or rest during the official visit. Jefferson Davis is also said to have stayed in the room when he was at the U.S. Secretary. Secretary of War. And this room is a drawing of the house as it was at the time of Lincoln's visit and a bread and butter note from Lincoln who thanks the fort for his hospitality. I have got to get into this house. It is said that some of the furniture is the original used during his visit. The room has a cozy fireplace, a view of the parade ground, and a separate entrance to the veranda. In Lincoln's time, it was somewhat larger, but the modern additions of closets, cupboards, and a bathroom had cut it down in size. So, yeah, it's rumored that he is standing by the fireplace in Lincoln's room. That's interesting. Another famous parsonage said to have returned to the Old Quarters One is Lafayette, who on his tour as a United States government guest in 1824 stayed in the quarters for 2 days in October. It also says that a Ulysses S. Grant is another spectator that wanders this historic house. Says the house is rumored to have an Indian ghost thought to be Chief Blackhawk, who may have been a guest in the house while he and several other Indian chiefs were held hostage at the fort in 1832. Stories of sealed-off tunnels in the lower floor of the house, and some say they were part of the Underground Railroad.
Rather than escaping slaves, they may be only the former kitchen servants in the tunnels, the old root cellars.
Huh. Okay. I'm going to get in there to find out.
It is the oldest building on post. This lovely house is entitled to a few romantic tales to go along with its history. Wow. What do we have?
Well, I wanted you to share the one thing you were going to talk about.
What is that? Oh, the Moat Monster.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to make sure we mentioned about him.
Monroe. Yay. All right. Well, Monroe is... see, I have two books that he's actually in, so I'm trying to decipher which one has the best stuff. Yeah, I'll give me a second. Okay. Moat Monster of Fort Monroe. That was Fort Monroe was founded by Captain John Smith. He named it Old Point Comfort and picked out this small piece of land because of its locality. Old Point Comfort, the colonists were able to see who was entering the James River. As historians know, the colonists of 1607 were involved in a mini war with the Spaniards. It don't say squat about return. It says the interior of Fort Monroe houses a moat. If they've been on my Facebook page, they've done seen it. They've got pictures of it everywhere. The moat protected the heart of Fort Monroe, which houses the main living quarters of officers and enlisted alike. It is like a tiny town encased in original stone walls. That's, I think, is what one of the things that makes it as interesting as it is.
Mm-hmm.
There is a story that this moat contains a water monster. This monster is said to be a relative of the Loch Ness Monster of Scotland. The moat monster has been sighted, but no one has been able to determine what it really is. Some saying it's a large stingray or a skate. It's more likely it's just a figment of an overactive imagination of old seamen and soldiers. But I don't think so.
I don't believe that.
I don't either.
Yeah, someone actually put a beach ball thing into the moat
for Monroe to play with.
But I wanted to, before time runs out, because there is just so much, and I don't even know where this is. There's actually two things. The house that Robert E. Lee State lived in during his stay is said to be haunted.
That's the one across from the casemate.
It is?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow, okay. It says, toys move with no one living moving them, and people hear heavy footsteps when no one mortal has made them. Pots and pans in the kitchen rattle and plates are smashed. Drawers yanked open to spill utensils, cabinet doors open and closed with no human hand doing so. It said flowers have been torn out of their vases and petals scattered. A ghost child is blamed for using a box of discarded toys found in the basement. The toys are taken out and scattered about as if they were played with. But anyway, I wanted to talk about, now how do they actually pronounce it? Is it Champlain or Champlain Hotel? Is it the Champlain?
Champlain?
Or is it Champlain?
I don't know.
Because I don't know how you pronounce that.
I didn't think it was either.
That's what it says, Champlain.
Oh.
Well, anyway, there is a beautiful, beautiful old building that used to be what was known as the Champlain Hotel.
And now it's the...
It's like a... What is it called now?
It's an assisted living facility, first of all, now.
But get this. It was built on the site of the earlier Hygieia Hotel. The Hygieia offered a place of elegance to stay on Fort Monroe with a ballroom, an on-site ice plant, laundry, billiards, a bowling alley, electricity. The rich and politically powerful chose it as a place to stay. The Hygieia was torn down and the hotel built in its place burned down in the 1920s. Then the Champlain was built in the same spot, had much of what the Hygieia had, plus amenities that included a fitness room and a swimming pool. It says the ghost that haunts the place is a woman on the eighth floor. The legend goes that her name was Esmeralda, who worked as a chambermaid for the hotel and was married to a poor fisherman. Though poor, they were happy. One day her husband did not return from a fishing trip. She waited for him, staring out the window. The manager caught her doing so and fired her. At the same time, a fire broke out in the kitchen and spread through the hotel. Many were saved, but others weren't, including Esmeralda and some of the staff. Apparently trapped on the eighth floor, where the smoke was the worst, her wrath is said to hang around. So frightened were those who beheld her, the manager would not rent any rooms on that floor. She has been seen floating past while others complain of cold spots. Still others feel an intense heat in her presence. Though I never got to talk to the man who was the expert on the spirits of Fort Monroe and lived in the Champlain, I did use the restroom on the second floor before I left to go to the Casemate Museum. After a woman left the room, I decided to test out my new K2 EMF meter that I had gotten for Christmas and said I asked if anyone was in the place and if so, to make the second light come on. It did. I asked if it could make the third one come on. The third light did. Excited, I asked that whoever shared the restroom with me would make the fourth light blink on. That's when all the lights went off except the first one. Was that Esmeralda or someone else? I'll never know. I used a digital recorder too, but there's nothing caught on audio. And it says, due to heightened security on bases after 9/11, the Champlain closed as a hotel from bankruptcy. Bought later, the new owners renovated the place and made it into luxury apartments for senior citizens. The place lives on, and maybe if you peer up at the eighth floor, you just might see a woman's face peering out of a window, searching for her beloved husband that never came home. And it says, come September 2011, pursuant to a decision by the 2005 Base Realignment and Closure Commission, BRAC, the Army will vacate Fort Monroe. Most of the property will revert to the Commonwealth of Virginia, and as host city, Hampton will play a role in the future. But that's kind of a brief thing on that. Yeah, I wanted to try to get into this building.
But it's Chamberlain now, right?
That's it, Chamberlain.
Yeah, it's a Chamberlain now.
But it reminded me when I looked into the door, there's like a sliding glass door. I looked in there, and it reminds me of the Titanic. Just really beautiful, elegant.
Story on the, not to change the subject, but the story on the, what we're not supposed to say, slave quarters.
Yeah, nothing.
NSS old slave quarters.
And this book, along with others that we have laying around here, came from, we're out, the Casement Museum gift shop. So, yeah, so it seems like every building on Fort Monroe has got some kind of story behind it.
When you think about it, what went on there, what used to be there?
I mean, it was a full working army, but army for it. The slave quarters is a cozy house with thick walls and wide plank wooden floors on the upper floor. Originally on the second floor were two large rooms to house servants for the officers' quarters, which were in front facing the parade ground. The only access was the outside stairs on the porch. The inner stairs were added later when the rooms were renovated in 1947 for living quarters. This kitchen seems to be the center of the ghost activities. When the family discovered they had a mouse in the kitchen, they locked their cat in the room when they went to bed. The next morning, they came down to find the cat meowing outside the back door. They locked the cat in the kitchen for several nights, and in the morning, she was outside. Since they still had the mouse, they locked the family poodle in the kitchen with cat. In the morning, both the poodle and the cat were outside. They never found an opening where the animals could have used to get outside. But that could be like my cat goes under the house and nobody knows how she gets under there, but she goes under there.
Oh, wow. I actually found something where someone had done, like, many, many investigations.
Mm-hmm.
And they said one of the first investigations that I have ever done, there was during operational hours, involved the sighting of Jefferson Davis's wife,
ooh,
Verena Howell.
Yeah.
As the story goes, Jefferson Davis was a prisoner at Fort Monroe. After finding out this horrible news, Verena goes to Virginia to be near her husband. The ghost story that has evolved concerns Verena as she wanders the top of the fort trying to catch a glimpse of her husband. It also has been said you can hear her sobbing. And they said after several attempts to catch this phenomenon, my ghost hunting friend and I were unable to document it. We had a lot of fun trying, though. And they said that it's spooky up there. I don't get the spookiness. That's the thing.
No, but we are. That's the next thing we're going to do is take the digitals. And if we find anything, we'll document it on Facebook. Let everybody know what happened.
Ooh. They said here, there are several accounts of ghostly encounters within the old fort. When they were about 10 years old, they had a friend that lived at Fort Monroe. Lucky. Her dad was in the Army, and they lived in one of the grand three-story homes located on the fort. She used to tell me that her and her sister, who was older, would never be alone on the third floor. They both said they would hear weird noises. This person spent many a night and never saw anything, but it never were disregarded.
Like I said, every building has something. There's some kind of story attached to it.
Well, I know walking around there, just some of the houses, you get that feeling of
mm-hmm.
just a lot of energy. What? I did not know this. Now, listen to this.
Uh-oh. Okay.
Finally, the most interesting story to tell came from the manager of the gift shop at the fort at Fort Monroe. I asked her if she ever experience any phenomena. She told me that there were certain parts of the fort that she did not feel comfortable in. She also informed me that She can often hear the voices of children at play running up and down the stone floor of the fort. The manager of the gift shop also told me that the store's location, fort, is the same place that used to be housing for military personnel and their families. She said that the gift shop was actually the bedroom area for the children that resided there.
Mm.
She told the story of coming in many a morning to find things strewn on the floor. The manager said that she makes it a point to say goodnight to the kids as she exits the gift shop for the day. She says as long as she acknowledges them, things will remain in place. I got to ask them about that.
Hmm.
So, I did not know
that. I was
that.
Wondering how haunted the museum actually is, and now we know.
Well, I read in here, too, that one of the security guards actually saw a Confederate soldier in front of him enough, it looked so real, that he spilled his coffee on him, on himself.
Wow.
So...
I won't in there. I won't in there bad.
You were in the museum a lot. You walked through there like how many times? 27,000?
Yeah, 27,001 actually. Probably going to go back tomorrow.
And I will tell everybody once again, the museum is free. They have a place where if you want to make a donation, you can. If you go into the gift shop, you're helping support it. So please, if you get a chance, because, I mean, this place, I gave a donation.
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, this is part of our history.
You know what we're supposed to be doing this weekend?
What?
And if anybody wants to give me any money to do it, I'll donate it to Fort Monroe.
That's right. You guys know that last... weekend was the polar plunge at Virginia Beach.
Yes.
Well, we decided we are going to do our own version of the polar plunge, but we're going to do it at Fort Monroe.
So anybody money that they want to donate to us to do it could go to Fort Monroe.
Yes.
So, yeah, we're going to jump in the Chesapeake Bay. Fort Monroe.
It's not actually the ocean, but hey, it's going to be cold.
It's going to be just as freaking cold. So
we'll try to get some good pictures. If Pam goes, maybe she can get them as we're freezing our tissues off.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. You guys will find out, you know, if we go to a place, just fall in love with it. I mean, I'm serious. I've gotten where... I'm hoping to see things.
I know.
Oh, a bit of a challenge for everybody because we've already mentioned it. Go to WPRS's site on Facebook and put in there the last name, the last real name of Edgar Allan Poe.
Yeah. What do they get? To know what Edgar Allan Poe's last name really is.
But we're gonna have another contest.
We got a contest in the works, but it's gonna take a while.
And even you guys will be happy to know even Visionique and Nakoma are gonna have a contest of their own. So stay tuned for that. Of course Nakoma doesn't have her page yet, but she'll piggyback off of Visioniques.
So I think that's it. That's just not because we're gonna be there. So.
Yeah.
If anybody wants to come out, let us know. I mean, we're going to be there.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, I get out there a lot.
Mm-hmm. We got some things in the works, too. So.
Oh, yes.
And I'm trying to volunteer. I'll tell everybody, I'm trying to volunteer a little bit there, so I'll be there anymore.
Yeah, so if she ends up getting in there, you guys come out there and you can support her, too, and learn a lot about the fort, because I'm telling you, Wendy's amazing me now. She's found out quite a bit about Fort Monroe.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Love it, love it.
Well, anyway, I hope you guys have enjoyed the show. I hope it was very informative to you. You had a good time. I hope you didn't find it boring. But you know what? Make your own experiences. Go there and make your own adventures, because I'm telling you, it is, you go there during the day, during the night, you still can feel the energy. I do.
Mm-hmm. All right. Y'all have a good night.
Yeah, good. We love you guys. Thanks again for your support. Have a good one.
Yeah, if you have goes, let me know.
If you have ghosts, you have everything. If you have ghosts, you have everything.